Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from Jesus Christ our Lord. We're in the season of the new year and the time to make New Year's resolutions. Don't know what type of person you are if you make New Year's resolutions or if you've given that up a long time ago. Maybe if you did or you still do. Do you tell those resolutions to other people? How many times when you made New Year's resolution did you go and share them with a bunch of people? Not very often, right? Usually we kind of write them down and then we maybe hide them. And then sometimes pretend like we never made them. Hard to keep them. One resolution that I'm going to make, and I'm going to tell you because I want to keep it, but I plan to lose some weight this year. We'll see. I look back and I did this program 75 Hard a few years ago, 4 years ago, and there's pictures of me for the first day of school back in 2020, and I look like a different person. So I'm starting to look and wonder, maybe it's time to do that again. And I'm going to start out, I don't know how long I'll do it, I'll try to do it for a while, but my strict diet of no eggs, dairy, and gluten, which I did for a while, because I technically have allergies to those things. And if you said, well, I've seen you eat those things, it's because I've eaten those things a lot. Because they don't make me tremendously sick, but they don't help me. They aren't good for my stomach and for my health. So we'll see how long that resolution lasts. But my hope is I share it with you and you know and can encourage me in that. Maybe there's some resolutions that you've made that you hope last. But so often we make resolutions and they don't last. Today, though, we're going to look at a resolution that lasts. Something that Peter's going to write about and encourage us and see that this will last. Encouragement of who we are and what God has done for us. And it's not a temporary thing. It's not a thing we have to worry about running out, but it's something that lasts forever. As Peter writes, he's writing to people who he calls them chosen exiles. This is not in the section that we're reading, but this is in the introduction for the letter. But he's writing to people who kind of feel out of place, that feel like the world is against them. But he's calling them chosen, they're elect, they're loved by God. So he's encouraging them, even if you feel like the world's against you, you can still have hope and peace. He's going to explain why. But do you ever feel that way? That the world's against you, that the world's against Christianity, or just that the world has changed? As we look at the new year, I think it's easy to see that or to feel that way. It's 2025. I was doing some shut-in visits today, and I was talking to people. You believe it's 2025? And they're all, it's hard to believe. That I was in high school 25 years ago. Man, you believe the turn of the millennium, 2000, was 25 years ago? People didn't even think we're going to make it past 2000, the Y2K bug. And now that's 25 years ago, and think of all the things that have changed. Or if you look up online and look at what things were like in the 90s, I think about this, that like music when I was in high school and a little bit before that, that's like, if we're listening to that music now, that would be like when I was riding around with my parents and we'd listen to the oldies from the 60s and 70s. We do that all the time, but that's what the music I grew up with is to this generation. It's like oldies. Oh my gosh. The world's changed. And I think every generation, every year, it feels like it changes all the more. But we have a lot to hold on to. As we know that the world changes, that the world is kind of against Christianity, we have something to hold on to. As Peter writes to these people that he calls exiles, We're exiles, but what can we hold on to? He says, now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. Notice what he starts out by saying this resolution is going to be in. What we want to focus on is the truth. But what is this truth? It's a resolution in the truth of the gospel. If you read this in the wrong way, I talk about obeying the truth. Sometimes when we think about obeying, we put all the onus and things on us. But really, when we're obeying the truth, it's all about the gospel. The truth of the Bible, the truth of God's word, the truth of who God is and his love for us. And when you understand, obeying is really belief, faith. That change the idea of obeying the truth a little bit for you, or make it something that sounds kind of law-like. You have to obey it. It changed it into this beautiful picture of the gospel truth. That God has loved you, and why is it important to have that foundation in the truth of the gospel? Well, imagine making a resolution and trying to improve or focus on the right thing, but maybe like a diet, right? And someone says, here, I have a great idea for you, a great diet. Eat a bag of M&Ms every day. Well, that's a great suggestion, but how's that going to work out for you? You'll probably realize after a little while that that's not a good idea. But if you're not founded in the truth, then you can do all you want and it's not going to work out. But when we're founded in the truth and understand that that truth is gospel and worked through God, what blessings we have and what peace we have. And so to understand what he then says stems from this idea of understanding the truth of the gospel. So that as we obey the truth, you can have sincere love for each other. Love one another deeply from the heart. Well, how does this happen? He says, for you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living, enduring word of God. Notice again, this is a resolution of love, not like, okay, we're going back in time of the 70s, right, or early 60s, a revolution of love, but an encouragement to love one another deeply. But how can I do this but through the living, enduring word of God? The only way I can do this is because I've been born again, not of this perishable seed, but in an imperishable seed, by the love of God, the Word of God, the living Word of God that takes my sinful nature and what is sown to die because of Adam and our sinful nature is now sown in to be immortal. So we can love, but that love comes from God because he has made us that way. Because he cleanses that sinful nature. He washes it clean. It's fascinating that here it talks about that you've been born again. In the New Testament, there's different times that it talks about being born again. And in 1 Peter, here in James, in John chapter 3, in Titus 3, sometimes it talks about the word, sometimes it talks about being born again by, of course, baptism. So which is it? Are you born again by the word or baptism? Well, by both. But it's the working of God that creates that in us. And we're able to love because this flows from God. And an encouragement for you all, we've been reading this book on Sunday nights, this Unoffendable. In a few weeks, in I think it's only 2-3 weeks, we're going to start that study on Sunday mornings. We're not reading through the whole book, but we're going to have a shorter study on it. But the book really focuses on how we can love one another, as Peter explains, because we understand the love of God has for us. If I am forgiven, if I have been washed clean, then I can love others in this amazing way. Isn't that a great resolution to think about? To understand the love that God has for me more so that I can love others and to not be offended by so many things that happen in the world and just say, oh, God loves me. I'm okay. I can love that person too. Now it's more complex and we talk about that, but what a great thing that we can love others knowing that I'm loved and redeemed and I can love and forgive others in the same way. But why do we hold on to this and why is this really something that lasts is what is quoted. And if you heard a lot of the passages that we read today talk about dust and returning to dust as time goes on. Here again, Peter quotes from Isaiah chapter 40. He says, all people are like grass, very similar to the psalm that we read too. And all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Notice that our resolutions are short so often. We want to keep them for a long time, but they don't last very long. Our lifespans, hey, we get to live quite a while, but in the grand scheme of things, they're pretty short. There's so many things in our life that really we think is long, but pretty short. So what does last, though, is the Word of God and His love for us. And so this resolution of focusing on Christ and His love for us is a resolution with eternal consequences. And if you've ever seen, I'm going to put up this picture here real quick. You've seen that before. You've maybe seen this on some pastors really have this up in their rooms a lot, or it's something held a lot by Lutherans, but it's a VDMA. It's a verbum domino manet in aeternum. And you can guess what that means, right? It's Latin, meaning the word of the Lord endures forever. The word of the Lord endures forever. As you prioritize and think about what you want to do this year, there's a lot you can think about. Maybe you want to remodel something in your house or a loved one's house. Maybe you want to work on something. Maybe you want to read a certain amount of books, spend more time with kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, spend more time doing the things you love. I look back a little bit, and for some reason I've been, it takes me back to one of Pastor Mike Novotny's books about what's big starts small, and he talks about just how much time we spend doing things and not thinking about them. He talked about how much time we spend watching football, because you got your team, and then you end up watching Sunday night, and you watch Monday night, and you watch Thursday night now, and now it's Christmas Day. And I was watching, and you know, often you just have it on in the background, but one thing that caught my eye just was, you see the people in the stands, and how angry they get at like a player dropping a ball, or something just insignificant, and we're just so up in arms and so angry about this thing that you're going to remember the next day. And again, I love sports. Can be whatever fan you want. We're going to get excited for the postseason here coming up. Packers, even Lions are in the postseason this year, right? Not to say don't enjoy those things, but what lasts forever? And you can go back in your year and say, what things did you focus on that really meant something for you this year? I don't know. But there's one thing I know that continues to have value. Being here, being in the Word, being in Bible studies, going to small groups, studying God's Word in different ways, sharing a prayer, being in prayer with the Lord, praying for others, sharing God's Word with a loved one, sharing forgiveness with another. These things have eternal consequences. Because the Word of the Lord stands forever. It lasts forever. And we someday, our bodies will enter into the grave. But our souls will go on. And the Word of the Lord stands forever, and that faith that is given will stand forever. And why do we know that? Because this is worked by God. When we look at all these things, we can think about obeying or loving others and how following God's Word is so important. But what gave you faith? The Word. The Holy Spirit working through the Word. That power through baptism as the water and Word forgives your sins, gives you faith. And what saves you is not how much you do this or how well you do any of these things, but our Savior on the cross. That He's done it all as we start this journey in the beginning of the church year, as He's in the manger and as He was in your place, we heard this Sunday, as He's a child and lived perfectly, He's going to go all the way down to Jerusalem and He's going to go to the cross and say, "It is finished." He dies for the sins of the world. It's done. We can set resolutions. We can focus on God's Word, but you can't add anything to your salvation. What good news that is, that He has done it all. That all of this now, then, as we talk about loving, is freedom. To be in His Word, to love God, to love others, to set these resolutions of growing closer to Him, it's all done in freedom, not to earn anything, not because it's required, but because we've been loved, and now we can love others. What freedom we have, what joy we have to go forward in the Lord. But take note of those things that do last forever. That love of God is eternal. The Word of God is eternal. Your souls are eternal. The souls of your loved ones are eternal. And so we share this Word and have this resolution that lasts, to be in the Word and to cherish the Word that is eternal and the truth of the gospel. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.